You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
One day I understand. One day, go see the baby be born and come back. You're a Major League Baseball player.
Did I not tell you?
Yes, you did.
See, don't answer. These are rhetorical questions because you know I told you and you know I'm
not. Analytics don't work at all. It's just a crap to some people who were really smart made up to try to get in the game because they had no talent.
This kid is a gamer. He's a baller. He's a playmaker and a shot runner.
In case you didn't know,
I got T-Bowed. He shattered the mold and all he does is win. All he does is win.
Hello and welcome to Hot Takedown, 538's podcast about the week in sports narratives. I'm Chadwick Matlin, an editor at 538. With me in the studio, despite being on book leave, is Kate Fagan. Kate, how much of your book is currently written?
I hope about 10,000 words.
You hope? You know, Kate.
What day is it?
It's mid-December or late November.
10,000 words.
10,000 words. Excellent. Yeah. Listeners, the secret is that we're pre-recording the stat school. Sorry, it's a stat school. I just blew my own cover. Also in the studio.
You buried the lead, Chad.
I know. Neil Payne, sports writer 538. Hi, Neil.
Hey, Chad.
So, as I mentioned, it's stat school time. I think the most fun I've ever had at school is stat school.
I
enjoyed school.
Wow, that's so great to hear.
Every day when it's stat school, like I pack like an extra special lunch and I sit in the front.
Absolutely. I imagine the bell ringing as we sit down for Statman to
Can we
help
get
us.
That sound effect?
I have like cheddar goldfish with me and also like Keebler cookies, so it's going to be really good.
And in the front row, you're like, ooh,
yeah,
call
like,
me.
Beep,
and
beep,
I'm
beep,
like,
beep.
Anyone else? Is there anyone?
Kate, you were a teacher's pet. You can admit it.
I was definitely not a teacher's
really?
Pet, Chad.
This
you
maybe
were,
for,
though?
For after taping hours. Okay, so it's
Can't
stat school.
Her street cred.
It is stat school day, which means Neil has transformed into Statman. The cape is on.
Stepped into the phone booth.
The light, the signal, what's that called? The bat signal.
Bat
the
signal?
Stat signal is up in the air.
Ooh.
I know. Yeah, see how that I did that?
You
the
are
stat
witty.
Signal is up in the air. And Neil is here and ready to tell us about what, Neil?
So we're going to talk about football again. We had talked about passing the last time that we did a stat school, and so it seems only right to kind of finish the thought and talk about rushing this week in our current edition of stat school.
Excellent. Okay, so rushing, I'm cracking my neck. I'm getting ready for
stretching
the lesson. Stretching.
You're about to get hit because you're running the football.
Lower that shoulder, Neil.
That's right.
All right, so Neil, as always with stat school, we're going to progress through three stages of stats in increasing complexity. There may or may not be a person along the way who helps us understand how they all link together. What is the easiest level, the intro course for rushing stats?
Sure. So the kind of base level rushing analysis that people do, or at least did in the past for sure, was just looking at like raw yardage and touchdowns.
I've heard of this.
Yes.
Have you, Kate?
I have.
Yeah.
Running backs and then the yards.
So they like they run for the yards, I think.
And then at the end, you're like, how many did they run? And then they tell you.
That's a great stat.
Yeah.
Sure. Is it not a great stat?
It says it all.
So I think there are some things wrong with it. Like we've learned a lot in stat school of just like purely counting things is sort of like the first step. But then, you know, not going beyond that step, you can kind of lose a lot of the nuance that makes certain players or teams good or bad. And one of the things that they learned with just the raw rushing totals is, you know, it's important to take into account opportunity, and especially with touchdowns, very much important to take into account opportunity, because we've all, I think this discussion, because we're talking about running backs, it's going to go to fantasy football, I think, in some ways. And we've all known the agony of having that running back on our fantasy team that, you know, leads, marches the team down the field and picks up a majority of the yards as the team is kind of approaching the goal line. And then they bring in, say, like Mike Allstott or someone like that.
Is this getting personal
some fullback
for you?
You know, there's some things.
I was going to say, why we all know the feeling. I think
yes.
You meant to say, I know the feeling.
Desperately know the feeling.
Right, and so they'll bring in, and teams, you know, especially now that they have running backs by committee, you don't see the split being so pronounced between, like, the goal line runners and the all-purpose midfield runners. But, you know, there would be running back platoons as recently as 10, 15 years ago where the smaller the running backs, the more kind of outside runner would gobble up all the yards, and then they would bring in someone who was more of a between-the-tackles runner to pick up the touchdowns. And so if you had outside rusher in your on your fantasy team, touchdowns are very valuable in fantasy football, and depending on your scoring system, they still are. So that person would kind of gobble up a lot of the points, even though he didn't necessarily do the dirty work of getting the team into position to actually score the rushing touchdown.
I believe the Giants had the Thunder and Lightning combo.
That's right, yeah. So that's often the configuration.
It was Brandon Jacobs, or was this like Rondane?
Was Rondane. Thunder.
It was way back in the day.
Rondane was Thunder.
Was it Tiki
and Tiki
Lightning?
Was Lightning, I think.
Although
it was
Brandon
in
Jacobs
Tiki's later years.
Was also, they also kind of
Ahmad
overlapped.
Bradshaw,
a
right?
They were like 2.0.
It was another
Giants
storm.
Do this a lot, I think.
That's the moral of it, that they do it a lot. But I remember this. I remember exactly what you're talking about happening with the football Giants.
Okay, so that seems almost self-evident to me that sometimes just straight stats can work for something like this, and sometimes they're hiding something.
But I think they're – yes, I totally agree, and I want to hear the next level right. of stats. But I do think sometimes as a fan or anybody in sports, we're like, okay, we're not counting opportunity, but sometimes you can have the sense like, well, why isn't a player getting more opportunity? And you kind of mm-hmm. feel like, well, if the – player isn't getting more opportunities because the coach doesn't think they're as good. So it's almost like self-selective in my mind that if you're a back that's getting the ball a lot, that's because you earned it.
Right. And that's something that we'll talk about later, too, okay. about how that it sort of comes back to recognizing that. But also that just purely looking at the raw numbers is not necessarily the best way to do it. And we have other fancy things that we can do with the with
all right,
the numbers.
I'm in.
Okay, so... do we need a Sherpa Mule guide for this section or to take us into the next? Kate wants all the Sherpas we can.
I just like a protagonist.
Well, maybe Mike Allstott and Mark Dunn from the 2000 and...
That's what it is. Who's our protagonist?
Yeah,
that's
good. The 2000
Finally,
Buccaneers
we answer this mystery. Okay, so who is our protagonist for the running game, Neil?
Well, so in general, we were going to talk about Adrian Peterson because he right now is a player who hasn't scored as many touchdowns as you would expect given his number of carries, but he also has a huge number of rushing yards, so it doesn't quite fit the profile of someone who, you know, he might be the person that is picking up the yards in between, you know, the goal lines, and you know, he's not closing off the drives with touchdowns as much as you would expect from that. So we'll see in the next section how, you know, if you start counting opportunities and looking things like that, he starts to look different.
Okay. I'm ready for the next course. Are you, Kate?
I have fully digested the first course, and I'm ready for the second.
Oh, we're in food metaphors now. We've moved on.
It's
from
a lot
metaphors.
Of mixed metaphors, so we're just going to roll.
Absolutely. Neil, bring us our next dish.
Okay. So once people sort of started trying to dig into the analytics of the rushing game, they started thinking about, just like we saw with passing, where the idea was to move from sort of these raw, you know, yardage and touchdowns and interceptions, start to kind of compile it all together and start to average things. And so that's when you started seeing more of a focus on like yards per carry and saying, oh, well, you know, Eddie George might have a ton of raw yards, but look, he's averaging like 3.8 yards per carry. You know, he is not being as efficient with his touches as some of the other running backs in the league. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of wisdom to that, I think, just like we saw with passing, that on a per-opportunity basis, football, you know, your job is to pick up yards and your job is to move the ball down the field, but you also have to do it in these discrete chunks. You only have, you know, four downs at most and practically speaking only three really within the context of a normal offense to pick up the yards. So if you're not churning out yards with regularity, it can really short-circuit your offense and make it hard to move the ball.
The yards per carry thing brings up, I think, your point, Kay, that you just made about whether coaches are using the running backs to their as much as they should or more than they should, because if I see that a running back has 5 yards per carry but is only getting 8 carries a game because they're a third down back or something like that, then maybe they should be the every down back, right? And so, like, is this a stat, Neil, that we could look at where we're sort of seeking an equilibrium where we want someone to run? If they're running for too many yards per carry, they should probably get more carries. If they're running for too few, maybe they need to get fewer, and you end up somewhere at like 4.2 yards per carry or something like that.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. Like, I think one of the things that we'll talk about in the next stage of all this is that also context is really important. So your third down back might be getting 5.2 yards per carry specifically because of the situations in which he's in the game and being called on to run like a bunch of draw plays and, you know, things in which he is being put, you know, given the opportunity not just to carry the ball, but in a very favorable situation to picking up yards. So that might be a flaw with yards per carry. But at the same time, if your every down back is only churning out 3.6 yards per carry, that is probably not a sign of a very healthy offense. And all of the context in the world isn't necessarily going to make that look like a really good performance necessarily.
Right. And it's kind of like when we talked about Steph Curry and the pace he has going being out of this world. And we assume that the more opportunities we add to that, the more down to earth he comes. The same with yards per carry, at least at the NFL level. I feel like if I see somebody with some running back with like 6-7 yards per carry, I'm like, oh, well, he doesn't have enough carries.
Yeah.
But I think with running, though, there's fatigue that comes into it, too, in a way that maybe for Curry, because he's playing whatever it's going to be, 42 minutes a night anyway, that the fatigue doesn't, like, Curry's going to regress to his own mean. Whereas mm-hmm. for a running back, I think there's a possibility that they're being used in not enough situations, and if they start to get used in more, their carries yards per carry might come down, and it might be because there's a situational factor, but also might be because they don't have the endurance or the stamina at this moment in their career to be able to run 20 times a game. They can only run 8 times a game, and then coaches, I think, have to figure out whether it's worth it for them to get 6 yards per carry 8 times a game or 3.9 yards per carry 20 times a game.
Yeah, and durability is huge with running backs, I feel like. So, like, there's a reason that you see, like, Darren Sproles or someone like that never really be, like, a featured back who's running the ball, you know, like, 20-plus times per game. He's, like, super tiny, you know? Like, right. And so, you know, asking him to carry that much of a load would take down his efficiency, and it also would prevent him from being able to be used in the passing game.
Running backs, in general, should not carry loads while they run. That would slow them down.
No. Yeah. And we saw the same thing with Reggie Bush, too. And like, okay, we need to totally thread the needle here on when he's playing and what circumstances he's playing.
And whether he's receiving phenomenally or not.
You know, and returning punts, if we want the best out of him. There seems to be a lot of calculation going on in a coach's head of like return for when they use somebody and how they use somebody and when that there's a tipping point there.
Yeah, and maybe the best running backs are the ones where you don't have to have all the kid gloves and be like right. very carefully managing, put them in like a safe situation in which they can pick up the yards. And I think Reggie Bush, when he was in college, people thought that he would be able to transition to become someone that wouldn't need all of that kind of, for lack of a better term, coddling or something like that, where like you have to manage his situations very specifically. And then once you got to the pros, you realized that he really couldn't be that every down back and that you had to manage it.
Okay, how's our protagonist doing with yards per carry?
So Adrian Peterson right now, and we should say that this might, I'm going to be vague because this is airing in the future, but it'll probably still be true. He has a very good yards per carry average by the standards of a running back who carries the ball as much as him, especially, and this sort of goes to what we were talking about, this kind of trade-off between durability and sort of how much you're used and how many yards you can put up. And that's one of the big reasons why, as of this taping right now, he's leading the league in rushing yards. And, you know, perhaps that will continue. But
is he leading in yards per carry?
He doesn't lead the league in yards per carry because there are guys like Gio Bernard and people like that who have carried the ball less than him and are averaging like your 5.6 yards per carry. But Peterson might be in like sort of the middle zone where you're getting a lot of work out of him, and he's also averaging, you know, good solid number of yards per carry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel good about yards per carry.
But there's still, when we're missing a lot of nuance that we need you to inject into these.
There
stats.
Always is. We always have to.
I feel like I trust yards per carry more than yards. Despite all the issues with situation and whatever else, that to me feels like I'd rather know if a player is good because of yards per carry than I would the number of touchdowns he scores or the number of yards total. Kate, are you with me there? Or do you still feel good about yards?
I mean, there's obviously a ton of overlap there.
Right, for sure.
But I think as someone who watching football, the thing I think most is okay, we're giving the ball to this guy, and I generally feel like he gets this amount.
4 to 5 amount.
Right. It's kind of like when the Giants secondary for a while, every time an opposing team would pass, I would think, oh, this is not good. You have those general senses. And so the thing I usually rely on is, oh, this guy produces TK amount of yards.
And it also bears mentioning that there's this extra dynamic to rushing where teams actually, like, they win not because they run necessarily, but they get a lot of rushing yards because they're winning. And I think we'll talk about that as we take it to the next level, but this idea of having someone who can sort of run out the clock and tack on those yards late in the game in support of what the team has already done is a distinct skill and a distinct phenomenon from actually kind of going out there and quote-unquote establishing the run, which is a term that you used to hear a lot, and I don't know if you hear it as much anymore.
Ain't nobody want to establish the run anymore. They just want to throw the ball.
That's right. All right, throwing the ball is fun.
Take us to that next level, stat man.
Okay.
The pinnacle of rushing stats. That's another mixed metaphor, because now we're at mountain metaphors. We've gone through school metaphors.
Culinary.
Food metaphors. Mountain metaphors. This is good. This might be a record for a stat school.
Cool.
We're mixing them all over the place. So the kind of the highest level, we'll kind of refer to it as almost like the twin peaks, if you will, of the of rushing production is expected points added and win probability added. And the idea there is that, like, yardage isn't enough to really even measure, even if you're doing it on a per carry basis, that your goal as a football player isn't to pick up yards in, it is in a certain extent, but you have to gain the 10 yards every four plays to have the right to try to pick up more yards. And so expected points tries to measure how many points are you actually adding to your team's potential to score on a given drive in a given game. And so if you pick up 5 yards on third down and 6, you're really not contributing as much to the team's, your yards per carry is going to look good, but you're not contributing to the team's chances of scoring as much as if you picked that up on first and 10, because then you would set up a very manageable second and 4 and so on and so forth. So the idea that not all yards are created equal is something that this expected points algorithm, and I should say expected points is calculated by saying, like, okay, what down and distance is it? Where are you on the field? Okay, this is the number of points that we expect the team to score before the other team scores. So it's like the net expected number of future points. And any change that is sort of caused by your actions on a given play, if you carried the ball 5 yards, you would calculate expected points added by looking at how many points the team is expected to score after your play and compare that to how many they were expected to score before the play.
So does this get at Kate's question about the nuances that we need you to add before, that now we're seeing situation in everything? Because we sort of, I think we do, especially in football, care about the situation. I think that because a football drive, a National Football League football drive, is comprised of sort of links in a chain. And you sort of see that whenever they show those graphics,
with a straight
bold arrow if it's a run and an arcing arrow if it's a pass or whatever, right? We see that these are all connected events because of the down infrastructure that's imposed on the rules. And so it seems to me like I do really want to know about situation when I'm thinking about running.
Well, it's definitely adding situation, but it's. And maybe it is, maybe it's not, maybe you can talk more about it, but it's not totally telling me what the teammates are doing.
Oh,
in
sure.
That. Well, I mean, which you know, of course. It's like, even it's, though it's not a great stat in basketball, there is kind of like the one that analyzes when you're on the floor with these people, this is the outcome. And so then when it comes to the running back, it gets to the heart of what we haven't mentioned yet in the podcast is like just the devaluing of running backs over the last 10 years and why. And obviously it would be because it seems like we believe they're plug and play. And I don't know that, I'm not saying I agree with that, but there is sort of like that belief. So then it gets at like even further if you look at the Cowboys last year and DeMarco Murray versus McFadden versus what Murray's doing in Philly, and how do we get all of that into a stat?
Right, and I think all of what you just said is why football is like super complicated to right. break down, especially for individual players. And so, you know, there's research that shows that the offensive line is almost completely responsible for how many yards you pick up in within like the first few yards of the line of scrimmage in both directions. So if you get stuffed, there's not really a whole lot you can do, but if you churn forward for like 2 yards or what have you, maybe even three, it's really more about the offensive line than the running back himself. So the skill that the running backs are bringing beyond that is their ability to sort of find holes and, you know, hit them and get it to the next level and tack on yards past that. But something that cuts against that and something that's important to talk about that is picked up by a stat like expected points added that's not picked up by something like, you know, yards per carry is just that there's a lot of spikes to a player's yards per carry. Like a guy could churn along and have like 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, a three and out, and do that a bunch of times. But then he might have like one play where he hits a home run and has like 80 yards. And so his yards per carry, because of the huge variance in his actual like individual carries, how many yards they pick up, it could look pretty good, but really he, on a given play, he's more likely hurting the offense in sort of the humdrum, you know, drive to drive down, you know, first down to first down way, and he'll have like one good play. And so that's why a lot of these things like, you know, Football Outsiders has defense adjusted value over average, which is sort of a form of expected points added that they have for every player. And that stat sort of filters some of that out and tries to acknowledge that, yeah, that run that you had was really good, but at the same time, it isn't consistent. Consistency in the running game, I think, is one of the biggest findings that sort of goes to the next level beyond yards per carry. It's just that you almost want to know the average yards per carry and also like the standard deviation of the guy's yards per carry, because you want to know, can a guy consistently help you work toward that first down? That in and of itself is almost more valuable than having a few, you know, long runs to go with a bunch of just like short nothing runs.
So how's Peterson at EPA and
win probability
and WPA?
Well, we haven't talked about WPA yet, but I'll just for Peterson, he right now has the biggest differential between his, like I mentioned, defense adjusted value over average at Football Outsiders and that which you would expect from his yard per carry. So if from that, you can kind of gather that maybe some of it is the shortfall that he has on touchdowns that we mentioned earlier, but it's also situational, the importance of situation to that yards per carry, where it tells me that he's picking up yards that don't really matter toward helping the team move the ball consistently toward you know, scoring points, that the yards are being picked up in situations where you know, it was relatively less meaningful than the average yard in across all running backs. And we should also say that this doesn't even talk about win probability added, which I think is really important for running backs in particular and just sort of the team's running game, because of what we said earlier about how you win, you run when you win, not the fact that you win when you run. That the running game in the second half, especially when you had the lead, is not about picking up yards. There's a certain point in the game where it becomes actually sort of your focus as a coach is not about maximizing the number of yards, even maximizing your chances toward a first down, as much as it is about just getting a decent chunk of yards, but also milking the clock. And being able to run down the clock is something that WPA picks up, where it actually tracks the impact not just of how much you move the ball, but also how many seconds ticked off the clock and how much you're kind of taking away from the other team's chances of winning every time you pick up that kind of decently sized gain late in the game that sort of helps move the ball, but maybe early in the game you would have liked to have moved it even further.
And I'd ask you how Peterson is doing those stats, but these stats are hard to come by, partly because of how complex they are and how many models that need to happen in order for these stats to be calculated.
Right, and hopefully at some point our friends, you know, our employers at ESPN will be able to kind of add the work of Brian Burke, who joined the team and was sort of the guru of all things win probability added when he had his own site. So we're excited about seeing all the cool things that he can do now that he's a member of the team here at ESPN.
All right, so, Kate, We've learned three things. How do you feel about those three things? Do you feel like it's changed the way that you watch football on Sundays when you see a man
that is a
carry a
pigskin?
That's what Statman aspires to, right, Statman? That you want to change the minds of the youth whom you educate.
I mean, that's a little extreme, Chad.
That's what I try and do every time we sit down for hot takes.
Every time I talk to anyone, that's really my goal. It's just completely, radically
change their
life. I've felt
that when I've spoken to you.
Yeah. I mean, I've learned, I feel like the round edges have been finely tuned by Neil here about running backs. I mean, I think.
See, that's what I'm aiming for.
The takeaway, of course, is like in baseball, I'm like, oh my God, I don't even get this stuff. I need you to break it apart. Like, the takeaway is like football's really, really hard to have stats that really, really tell you more and a lot more than you can just gather by observing and looking at all the rudimentary ones that we already have access to.
And maybe the good thing about the running back stat school and like the fact that it is so complex in the running game, even compared to, say, the passing game, is that at the end of the day, in the NFL especially, passing is just like way more important than running. So in a certain sense, I mean, this is why you see the range of quarterback values in a stat like QBR and expected points from that, and then also Football Outsiders metrics, is so much wider than it is for running backs, that like the best running back in a given season only contributes a fraction of what the best quarterback contributes. And that's just because you win by and large in the NFL by how well you pass the ball and stop the pass, and not necessarily, you know, how well you run the ball and stop the run. It's sad for all those running backs who are, you know, putting themselves in line and hurtling themselves against the brick wall of the defense, but it seems to be the case right now, the way the game is played.
All right, I think that'll do it for this week's Stat School. I feel educated. Neil, thanks as always.
Thanks,
for
Jack.
Guiding us through the gnarly,
naughty,
gnarly,
I love the word
complicated
naughty.
World.
I love the word gnarly.
So I'm right,
it's underused.
And just, yeah, gnarl. I feel like advanced analytics are gnarl to me. Thanks to Neil. Thanks to Kate Fagan. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Chad.
Good luck with the book writing. I'm sure by now, what, you're at 15,000 words?
12,000.
Okay. During the show, yeah. While you listen to it, you type so much.
2,000 words added.
Wow. All about running backs. Yeah.
EPA, book completion probability.
Standard deviation.
Our podcast producer is Sarah Patterson. Our intern is Sarah Patterson.
Woo.
Sarah Patterson is interning and podcast producing all at the same time. Okay, maybe she can write the next 1,000, 2,000 words of your book for you.
Yeah, she's already signed up.
Our executive producer is Jody Avergan, or our supervising producer. We're still unsure about his title. We're working it out. Our video producer is Ryan Nantel. We get production assistance from Jordan Shulkin and Louis St. Jacques. Our intern is Sarah Patterson. I've already said that. That's how much help
three.
She was.
She got
I know,
three
I
credits
know.
In the credits.
You can email us.
She write those credits?
You can email. I wrote them myself. You can email us at podcast@538.com. We'd love to hear what you think. You can find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Downcast, all sorts of other apps. We're also on iTunes. Subscribe at itunes.com/538. Be sure to review and rate the show while you're there. It helps others discover the program. Our theme song is by Mystery Mansion. I am Chadwick Matlin. Talk to you next time.